Previously, I'm 24.
Jack, we've authenticated the thumb drive data. Omicron definitely made the Centaux for the military. Who is this Henderson?
Someone I used to work for.
Where?
CTU. He was a man who recruited me. Things ended badly between us.
Well, what are you accusing me now of, Jack? Being in bed with terrorists?
Incomplete access to Omicron's Centaux program.
I gotta burn some files and find out who's working on this project.
We need IT.
They're next door. I listened to everything Bauer had to say about the thumb drive. CTU does not have enough information to hurt us.
What about Bauer?
Well, in about 1 minute, he'll be dead.
Mr. McGill, we think there might be an attack on President Suvorov's motorcade.
My people are not going to chase that white elephant. They're busy trying to locate 19 canisters of Centaux nerve gas.
Now let my people focus on their work, or I will have you escorted out of here.
Lynn is mentally incapable of running CTU.
What are you suggesting?
Section 112.
Curtis, take Mr. Stiles and Ms. O'Brien, put them in holding, and then escort Audrey Raines out of CTU.
Lynn McGill, I'm relieving you of your command under the incapacity clause of Section 112.
Mrs. Logan is riding with the Suvorovs.
Get my wife on the phone.
The terrorists were very specific. If I don't allow them to attack the motorcade,
they're going to release canisters of nerve gas in multiple locations. You need to get out of the car.
We're under attack. We need backup now.
It happened outside of my authority. I told no one.
If Russia isn't going to pay with the life of its president, then its new ally, the United States, will pay with the lives of its citizens. Mr. President, this is our final conversation. Goodbye.
No. Wait!
The following takes place between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Hi, I'm Nicole Rana DeVay, and I got the chance to write this episode. 5 p.m. to 6 p.m.
I'm Duffy Demetrius. I'm one of the story editors on 24.
And I'm Matt Miknovitz. I'm also one of the story editors on 24.
I am actually normally the script coordinator on the show, which means after a writer writes an episode, I put it in the form that it needs to be put in for production to actually shoot the episode. And with these two lovely gentlemen, we all track continuity on the show together, which is quite a job, but is also really a lot of fun.
Wow.
Part of
the thing with continuity,
I think it's fun.
The thing with continuity is anything and everything that's said from every episode, like for instance this episode, or even in episode one of season one, everything has to be exact. So if Jack says one thing, then that means it still has to hold true here, which with every episode gets harder and harder and harder to track.
We have a lot of information in our heads.
Or on random bits of paper.
Strewn about our offices.
Palmer, they tried to kill Michelle and me. David Palmer was the primary target.
These scenes with Carlos Bernard, who plays Tony, were actually extracted from an earlier episode that Tony was going to show up in. He was going to wake up much earlier than he does.
I think it was like episode 7, maybe even.
I think you may be
as early as
correct.
That.
Yeah, and this is episode 11, so that's several hours later. But, you know,
11.
He did get blown up, so...
He looks pretty good for getting blown up.
Well, so Carlos looks pretty
good. On his good side.
He got bad shiny face.
And there's James Morrison, Mr. Buchanan, our leader. We love him.
We need you to get better.
And he cares.
He does care. He's
he
very tender.
Cares.
He's very tender. See that?
The aftermath of the explosion.
The Suvorov.
Or the motorcade attack.
Motorcade attack.
There's our First Lady, Jean Smart. And our Secret Service gentleman who was with President Palmer since season one, before he even got elected. Is that right?
Yeah, no, he was the...
That's correct.
The Secret Service...
All right.
I don't know what to call him, but he was with the Senator Palmer season one and then every season since.
He actually had a couple scenes against Jack in season one when he was trying to protect Palmer.
Oh,
and in right. England, my buddy's in England, by the way, call him the ginger-haired agent.
Well, we are all very fond of the ginger-haired agent. He's done quite a job today.
Charles.
Now, there was a little bit of a relationship brewing, I think, starting in the last episode between these two.
Yes.
And culminating in this episode.
And this is laying a lot of groundwork.
Yeah, that's
correct. Going to come back possibly later.
Duppy, didn't at one point we brought up the remains of the day?
Yes.
It came into... Well, it did. It came
no,
into
there, yeah, it was the remains of the day. The forbidden love. That was an actual Navy chopper. The Navy has been good enough, actually, pretty much every season.
Yeah,
the military's been...
They've
good
been
enough
very
to help
helpful.
Us with vehicles and things like that, planes and F-18s and choppers. They work around our schedule, and they come in, and we get a couple chances to shoot it, and it gives us a really high production value.
We also have a couple, I believe they're naval consultants, that take a look at our scripts and make sure that we're copacetic.
As well as using some of the actual Navy personnel and troops and some of the Marines who got to play cameos in a couple of these action sequences in some of our episodes.
Not a bad trade-off.
No.
Without the key card, it's all for nothing. Call me when you have it.
I will.
This is Ostroff, I believe.
That's correct.
Is it Jenny? Of course, that's what you use your CTU.
We've Jenny. Got to... And Dwayne.
Yes, this is Jenny McGill, Lynn McGill's sister. She's not on the up and up, I don't believe.
I love that he's using the card.
Middle of an afternoon.
Hey, you know, it's early.
These two are actually really funny. The actors are pretty good coming off as delinquents.
They're good crackheads.
He was great in Sin City.
He was
now,
jacked.
He was jacked Jude, in Sin City, beating the hell out of Bruce Willis.
Jude has also been with us since season one.
That's mm-hmm. correct.
Which is hard to do on this show.
Well, he's been bad guy.
Good was guy, he in season
guy.
Three?
Good guy, bad guy.
He got laid off season two.
I think season three may have been the season that he stepped out.
That he got jacked and went to Sin City.
Well, Sin City is just it's a few towns over
right.
from Los Angeles.
Everybody's favorite slimy president.
Greg Itzen. Do we need to say it? How good is
Go
he?
Ahead.
He's fantastic.
We love watching him.
He's great to
we
watch.
Do love
we
watching
love
him.
We've been holding
Exciting
back.
To watch.
He's extraordinary.
It's Curtis.
Now, Curtis graduated from running things in the office out to field ops work, right?
Oh,
that's quite a promotion.
Yeah.
I thought Lynn took Bill off the active roster.
Bill's been reinstated, and Lynn's been relieved of duty.
Okay, fine. Put me on.
All right.
It's just all this aftermath, and Jack is just...
Well, he just got blown up as well.
Yeah.
Crawled
out of the hole.
He protected himself.
He looks pretty good for having just been blown up.
He was shielded by that piece of paper.
Shielded by the floor grate.
Now, all the tension is brewing between Jack and Audrey also. Where are we in their relationship at this point? I'm not even sure.
Well, her and Chloe are sort of running point for him together.
Well, he's, yeah.
CTU has averted they've had a rebellion, so to speak, put Lynn in the holding.
Right, Lynn freaked out.
No, Bill, I need to go in alone.
Why?
Henderson's good. He'll be able to detect the TAC team moving in.
How do you want to play this, Joe?
Now, this area in CTU where Buchanan and everyone is situated is not the Situation Room. This is a conference area, which is one of the many locations we have
right,
in our CTU
basically
set.
On the floor of what we
yep.
call the bullpen.
I know. I'll get back to you.
Which is a huge stage. Peter Weller.
RoboCop.
Weller.
And Buckaroo Banzai.
Now, Buckaroo Banzai. We have quite a pantheon of CTU villains.
It is a pantheon.
And Peter Weller has stepped up to the plate.
Absolutely.
Originally, he was only supposed to be in, what, three episodes? Three
yeah,
or four episodes. He had another commitment, and I don't know if that fell through or he shifted things around, but he's stayed with us. Yeah, he's going to be with us for quite a while.
Well, this may be a good point to bring up his character. I don't know. I mean, he appeared in the episode previous to this, but if it's mentioned, it should be mentioned here at least that he was originally going to be, wasn't it Jack's brother was the character?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was going to be a story arc involving his brother, possibly his father, and like everything does on 24, it changes, and it changed to his mentor.
Away.
Right, the guy who brought him into CTU.
It's a very sterile work environment. You got
the... Is that the clinic? Oh,
that's okay. Like,
1800, that is military time.
It's,
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Terrorists need to write those things down so that they don't forget.
Yeah, you know, what do you mean it was AM? I thought it was PM.
Is that Greenwich time?
Dr. Besson.
His carryover from last season.
Yeah.
He had some problems with Jack.
He stayed with us a couple times. Yes, he is the doctor that Jack forced off of Paul Raines that caused Paul Raines' death.
He was jacked by Jack.
Jacked by Jack. Where do you come up with these nuggets?
I wrote that one down.
Oh, there he goes.
Uh-oh.
Just pretend.
And this was part of that sequence that was lifted and moved around from various episodes.
Now, originally...
He takes it off, he's wearing a suit.
Things change so much, just even in the script stage, before we even shoot things and then after we shoot things. But Tony was originally, he's about to see his face for the first time after he got blown up.
Fan of the opera.
And he's about to find out what happened to Michelle.
That doesn't look that bad, actually.
And
looks like he got slapped.
Yeah. Once he finds out what happened, all right, gentlemen. Once he finds out what happens to Michelle, it's going to cause his next sort of mission in life to find out who killed her and get revenge.
Uh-oh.
He's strong enough after he got blown up to
throw
Dr. Besson off of him.
Yeah, he's very angry.
Let's see. Now, this is interesting. Oh, deceased. But it doesn't stop there. Show me.
Now, as in most of our people that have come in and
it's like a slideshow of all
take over CTU, Buchanan started out combative with the guys at CTU as well, right? And then
with Tony as well over Michelle.
Yeah, but we wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to be another Chappelle.
Well, but we had Mason who started out the same way
and
then came on board. Then Chappelle started out the same way, came on board.
And he came in to kind of straighten things up, but he was also from the beginning not going to be the guy that was going to get into fights. He was very, very by the book.
He's very, very sympathetic, though.
There's that helicopter. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Chopper.
Now, this is filmed in the, is this Malibu?
I don't know if it's Malibu or Thousand Oaks.
Thousand Oaks area?
I'm not sure.
Which is near the old MASH set, I believe, up there
on
the other side of the hills. You see the Malibu Mountains in the background.
Now, this is another sort of sequence that changed from script to script. Basically, you change one attitude of one of the characters, and the whole scene changes. Originally, we had Logan, who was furious with Martha for getting into the car and risking her life and making him have to change his decision. But now Martha knows that Logan didn't turn the motorcade around, so she's basically furious with him. And that changes the whole tone of the scene.
One of the exciting things about this season, I think, is the dynamic between these two characters, which we tried to play out as much as possible.
They're remarkable actors. They play off each other really, really well. It's a great combination.
And I don't think we knew from the beginning that it was going to play out as well as it has.
We hoped.
Anya, I can't tell you how glad I am that you're both
And here's the Russian president and his wife who are beginning to smell a rat, possibly.
I'm deeply embarrassed that something like this could happen on U.S. soil. But I promise you, whoever did this will be brought to justice.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
Of course.
He's not putting up with it.
We both know who is responsible for this. We believe it was the same group who attacked Ontario Airport this morning.
Now, the idea of the Russian summit meeting is something that we came up with early on as sort of a backdrop against today's events to play in the treaty
And the fact that the terrorists are Russian separatists.
Yep.
These terrorists have possession of a military-grade nerve agent, and they've threatened to use it against the civilian population of Los Angeles.
And Martha is incredibly sane these days, considering
tie.
What
the
she was
tie.
In the first couple episodes. She's all of a sudden has this miraculous turnaround insanity.
Well, but she was never entirely insane.
She was throwing her head into the water and.
Yes, but she was correct. Palmer did call her.
That's
the thing.
She was still kind of crazy.
She didn't like being called crazy, and that made her crazier.
Well, I love it.
It's like calling someone angry. You're angry.
I love being called crazy. I don't know what the problem is.
No, I know that. Well, with Martha, I think once you took her off her meds, she was a little better.
She didn't like the way they made her feel.
No. And again, there was a couple scenes there where you saw the look between Agent Pierce and Martha and Logan. At least Pierce looking at Logan, sort of suspecting something's up.
The truth is that my wife has been under a doctor's care for quite a while now. She suffers from depression and anxiety. It's been very difficult for both of us. I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you.
That's a great look.
Now, this is something that I think this was cut, but they're eventually going to, that scene right there, they're going to exchange information with the Russians and get the Bierko file. CTU's going to obtain Bierko's name from Russian intelligence.
Right, right.
How long are you going to keep me here?
You're not going out there anytime today, man.
Oh, Sean Astin, I think he's done a fabulous job of just becoming unraveled.
Lynn Wise McGill.
Yeah. Insert Lord of the Rings joke here.
I just did.
He's fantastic.
How about a Goonies joke? Should we go back to that?
No, come on. Now you're just
don't get me started.
It's our time.
Stop Rudy? It.
Love Sean Astin.
Goonies.
So, yeah, these two have been button heads. Little power struggle.
Now, just a little, playing a little catch up. Obviously, you saw his sister with the card. It was, what, four episodes ago that he was drawn out by his sister because she needed money. He said, I'll meet you. She thought he was going to give her money, and he ended up getting whacked in the head by her boyfriend, and his wallet was stolen. And,
but we didn't really realize that there was more to that attack than just a mugging.
It's a nice little arc that's played out over a couple episodes and is finally coming to a conclusion in this episode and the next episode.
And an interesting thing is, how did he get back into CTU? That was the flaw of the whole thing.
He's Lynn McGill. But now he's realized that his key card's gone and he needs it.
Okay, you just get them to give you a new one. I mean, that's what I did when I lost the key to my laundry room.
She's good.
Secure government building. Now, if you don't want me to call the police, you'll get me back the key card today. You hear me?
This guy. So he does cocaine, and now he's drinking a beer.
It's a chaser.
And it's barely noon. Actually, it's later than noon.
Yes, it's actually 5
it's barely,
5
barely noon the next
right.
day.
Car, we don't need it.
That's how I'm getting us all this money.
You told me we were just going to take...
You look at her and you go, okay, druggie. You look at him, you go, banned. He doesn't look like he's as...
Rock star.
...as drugged out as he is.
I'm not sure that I concur, but...
You're not listening to the right bands. And that, the Logan's Retreat or Logan's Ranch.
The interiors are all on our stage.
Yeah, all that stuff, including the water thing out by the porch. It's all interior, actually, lit to look at exterior. It was all built by Joseph Hodges. He designed it, and our construction crew, which did a really great job.
Fantastic job.
There's Evelyn, who plays a huge part later on. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
You just like saying that.
Spoiler alert.
She is possibly the worst assistant on record. She's lost Martha, I don't know, 3 times?
Yeah.
How many times has she lost her?
Well, she kept the president out.
It's true. She did do her job there.
She's loyal.
Find Aaron Pierce right now. I want to know how he's doing.
Is there a message you want me to get to him?
If he's all right, tell him I'd like to see him.
Ah, yeah. Edgar.
Edgar. Spoiler alert.
There's no spoiler alert.
Those sighs. The diagram.
Edgar has a very rough hour coming up for him within the next.
Kylo Memorial, Westwood. Hospital.
Tell Curtis to activate attack team.
Now, it's interesting. A lot of people probably wonder, how do we come up with these targets for terrorist attacks season after season?
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of hospitals. We do a lot of warehouses, malls, high-density targets.
We have a dartboard that we throw.
We just have a hat, and we pull names out of it.
All these hospital sequences changed several times as well. This guy was originally... He was going to be a patient that snuck in. Then now he's an orderly.
Or disorderly.
That's a good one, Duffy.
Fat Boys movie.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a great reference.
Yeah, thank you. Come on, you gotta have a Fat Boys reference.
Our famous boxes.
And our famous hedge.
Do you copy?
Jack, we found intel on the body of a dead terrorist. There is going to be an attack.
Where?
Tyler Memorial Hospital. We think it's happening within the hour.
Okay, I copy.
Nice little rose there.
Now, this is Toluca Lake, I believe.
I think
California.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful Toluca Lake.
Jack has this bag. We call it his magic bag because pretty much anything he needs.
It's a little Batman utility belt.
If it can fit in that bag, he can have it. And we've been very careful this year that whenever he's leaving vehicles or getting into vehicles or anything like that,
yes,
he always brings this
bag
with him.
Make sure he has
his
bag.
It helps the writers out tremendously to be able to pull out whatever you need.
He needs a soldering
as
iron.
As well as production.
And
ball bearings.
And some ball bearings. Oh, he has them right here in his magic bag.
Who? Now, Nicole, you're very fortunate to have Jo Beth Williams in this
episode. I am very fortunate.
Which I think is really cool.
She really, really pulled it off.
This is Curtis Manning with CTU. I need to speak to the ranking security officer on site.
You're talking to him. Tom Wakeman.
Mr. Wakeman.
Now, I believe this is a real hospital.
Yeah. This is all, I think, this is all a real hospital. I'm not sure where it is, and I'm not sure if it was an actual working hospital or if it was a hospital that was emptied and just used for filming. But
yeah, those are not real patients.
This is a large facility, Agent Manning. We have 600 patients, many of whom need assistance.
Mr. Wackman.
This is a great sequence.
Is released into the ventilation system. Everyone inside that building will die.
And this is really a great episode for Curtis as well, who has a nice story.
Curtis
this one.
Gets to be action figure man. Making dinner.
There's the pepper.
Jo Beth.
Check sneaking around the corner.
So much for.
Now, this, she has not seen him for years, probably. Everybody thought he was dead.
And the backstory, sort of, is that when Jack served with Henderson in the old days, which is prior
to
season
back
one.
Call back to season one. If you fans have been watching since season one, go ahead.
They know that Jack, in the beginning of season one, it was set up that he had ratted, whistleblown on a couple of his fellow agents who were crooked. And this is a nice story that sets up that Henderson was one of those agents and he was his mentor. And so Henderson and his wife, Miriam, were very close with Jack and feel betrayed by his actions. And it's not entirely clear, at least not in this episode, whether or not Henderson was one of those crooked agents or whether Jack had falsely accused him. We assume Jack was correct, obviously, in the
By the end of the last episode, we probably assume that he's no good.
Does that deserve a spoiler alert?
He's a no good Nick.
Spoiler alert.
Well, no, because the end of the last episode, he tried to kill him. So.
Right, but that doesn't mean necessarily that that he was involved in the prior, but I would assume
tomato.
Jack's always right.
She's very calm having a gun.
Well, her husband was a CTU agent. Maybe she
got a little bit of it rubbed off on her.
She knows how to handle herself.
She's used to weapons.
She's wearing a Kevlar Angora sweater.
Now, these are minor little silly things that change like 20 times, but just he wants the computer because he wants to get information that Henderson was sharing with Omicron on his personal computer. And that changed a million times from... First it was hidden, then it was in a secret room that Miriam, his wife, was not allowed to go into, then it was the family computer, and now it just kind of ends up being out in the open, and he just has to actually break into the computer, not find the computer.
This is hard drive. I need you to talk me through it.
Okay, Jack.
Here we go.
Can see the chemistry between these two now.
Yeah, this story was moved around a little bit. Well, as far as being toned up and toned down, trying to find a nice equilibrium between them.
Yeah. I mean, when we have incredible casting agents and we do some great casting, and once we find an actor that really shines, we try to make use of them. We try to give them good stuff to do.
We do. We tend to write to the actor as they...
Yeah, and Glenn Morshower has really... Every year, I think we try to find something for him to do because we love him.
That ginger-haired lad.
The ginger-haired agent. Uh-oh.
Tender moment.
Someone's going to catch them. Ooh.
Mrs. Logan.
He's just
busted.
There he goes. I love that from Glenn.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, this is a great scene.
Pierce better be careful because Novik can get jacked up. And he's going to beat the hell out of him.
It's not going to be entertaining for our followers who have not seen Sin City. To anybody but you.
What? Well, there was
go
one.
Go see Sin City.
Would you like me to convey that to the president?
You can convey whatever you want, Mike.
Now, Novik and Martha have sparred a little bit this season, and this is another one of those scenes where he's just trying to do the president's work, and he's caught in the middle.
Mike, I want you to know nothing happened in there.
Whatever didn't happen, make sure it doesn't happen again.
That's great. That's good.
Which logically doesn't make sense. But we all get the idea.
It's sort of like antimatter.
Right.
Tack team's there.
Now, this is another thing that we've done this season. We started out with 20 canisters of nerve gas. We established that. And we have had to track, we released one at the mall, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
And killed
11 people.
Several people. Saved a little girl, though.
Eight and a half.
It's the most lethal gas out there, and we killed 11 people.
So
this is
there's
the second.
A possible canister here.
Yep.
So that would leave us with 18 canisters.
Right.
And we have to make sure that we remember that and track that.
Target points within the hospital. Team A, start at the north end. Team B, take south. Move.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's difficult when you have things like canisters and nuclear power plants and things of that nature from episode to episode.
Because there are so many people that actually have to do things with regards to it. Like
the video department.
The video department has to make sure that everything syncs up with the amount of canisters or, as Matt said, the nuclear
locations,
power plants,
power plants
and maps and things like that. And it changes script to script. So if everybody's not on the same page, it could end up being we get to set the shoot and the map has...
Yes.
You know, the map has 15 canisters on it because originally there were supposed to be 3 canisters released here or whatever.
Exactly. So we try to catch everything as early as possible and put as much information in the script as we can so that everybody's on the same page. Literally.
Sometimes the House of Cards.
There's another entrance to the sub base.
Also, everybody has these satellite phones.
There's a good chance it
isn't. They don't like
to be
tracked.
All the bad guys have these satellite phones with these huge...
Which are designated by their massive antennae.
That's right, yeah. That's how you know it's a satellite phone.
And Julian Sands.
Notice how he's all in black? Dark suit. That makes him a bad guy.
Right. He's like, I may not. He's so afraid, and he goes, you know, you may have to die.
It's because he gave him a pep talk.
All right. He was head of his.
That's what Bjerke
does. Cheer squad in college.
Pep talks his kamikaze terrorists.
And these terrorists, of course, were also prepared to be go after
the
Russia.
The television show had boxes on just like the computer. Never mind.
Good one, Jeff.
It went poop, poop.
What are they trying to say with that?
Okay, so here's where they're finding out who Bjerko is. They're finding out his name for the first time. See, we also, tracking continuity, have to make sure that people don't start calling him by name before the characters actually figure out who he is, because we all know who he is, obviously. So we try to catch that stuff.
From some surveillance photos.
Yes. It's a nice shot of him, don't you think? In sunglasses.
Very good. It's one of those candid surveillance. Cameras.
He's an interesting terrorist from some of the ones we've had in the past because we've done the secret agent, the MI6 agent. We did the terrorist from last year, Marwan. This guy's more of a businessman. He's a billionaire mogul with his own twisted ideology.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, what were you trying to say? First season, it was personal.
Mm-hmm.
Second season, it was for money. Third season,
love
was it
game.
Money? This season, it's ideology.
Chloe Henderson isn't trading music files with his office. There's something else on the computer. Find it.
Jack, I'm doing the best I can.
Why did you face it, Jack? Christopher is innocent. He was innocent when you forced him out of CTU, and he's innocent now.
Oh, come on.
She's still
believes I don't even
in
think
him.
She believes that.
She does.
He's not an innocent man, but...
No, he blew up the server room at Omicron while I was still inside.
He was destroying evidence that would have implicated him in this conspiracy.
Ah, come on.
So, you know, these two obviously have a history as well, since Jack had a history with Christopher. Their families were very close.
And there's even a reference later on to
Kim.
Right.
To them looking in on Kim after Jack was supposedly killed.
Now,
and originally, I don't remember if it's in the script, but originally he was supposed to be Kim's godfather.
I don't think it survived.
Right.
It
and
was something
to take her godfather to be able to check
also,
in on her at times.
Also, originally, I believe Jack and Miriam were supposed to possibly have some sort of history of possible romance or not, or she may have had feelings for him or something, and we took that out as well.
Who doesn't have feelings for Jack?
He's quite a man.
He's got a secret file on his computer. There's a list of numbers.
And that implicates him?
We need access to that.
She's just sitting a little bit too... like he doesn't have the gun on her anymore. And if you're in Henderson's house, you'd figure he had a gun in the
What is
in
she going to do? She's a housefrau.
Hit him with the chessboard.
She's the Rhinomuckafrau.
Look at her. She's so good.
Yeah, her and Peter Weller make a great, great couple.
Oh, just wait. Just wait till they get together.
Spoiler alert.
Agent Manning?
The worst part is, when Henderson gets home, dinner's not going to be done.
Those peppers are just sitting there.
So
the lettuce is wilting.
Here's one thing that we're really like balancing back and forth. There's obviously a lot of action going on at the hospital versus Jack at Henderson's house, and it's slightly a stagnant scene. You know, he's just on a computer trying to get information, but we keep up the tension and we keep up, you know, the juxtaposition of having to stop a nerve canister from going off and Jack getting a vital piece of information that he needs.
This show does a lot. 24 has a really good balance of that because you need down.
Are those all our crew members?
I think I saw your picture on there.
Yeah, I'm in there somewhere. That wasn't me. I'm in there somewhere. I'm wearing a pith helmet.
Victor, our terrorist. It looks like he got roughed up in prison.
It's a gulag.
All teams. Suspect is a confirmed hostile.
But Ray, as far as the juxtaposition of the action goes, it's confusing sometimes if you've got two action sequences on top of one another.
A little too much, possibly.
It's very sinister. Anything bad guys use has to look sinister.
Always,
it's got
to be next to a vent to do its job.
Which was another thing. It's
duct tape.
It's all duct tape. It's interesting that in quite possibly one of the dirtiest rooms in the whole hospital, there's an air vent that will lead to the rest of the rooms throughout the hospital.
There's a lot of air vents on 24.
Now
we do a lot with air vents.
If you notice, he takes the timer with him,
which is actually something
that
was added. It was added later because originally, later, I forget which episode it was. I guess it was next episode. They had to be able to find a timer on the bad guy as he was, spoiler alert, escaping CTU. So they actually did an insert of that to show that the timer could be taken off. Otherwise, you have a very James Bond type of thing where you have a bomb with a huge countdown clock, so you find it and you know how much time is left, and it just doesn't seem realistic to be able to have that because once you set it, who cares if the timer's on it? You might as well not even have one.
He wants to know how much time he has to get out of there.
Well, you brought up a good point about the timer being an insert, and when it's edited, I mean, they shoot this thing with the time ticking down, and when it's edited, they actually sync it up to the real time of the show in proportion. They take the frames of it so it's appropriate.
Uh-oh.
Now, here is also, it's a spoiler alert, but it's for 2 minutes in the future. We were originally scripting this, and they were trying to find any way to keep this where this was not actually a real canister of nerve gas. This was going to be a dud, as it were, or an empty canister that was going to be just a distraction. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for, a decoy.
Diversion.
Thank you. That was just a distraction.
Clever
so that
ruse.
Once it got detonated and they found out that it was empty, they realized this was to divert our attention from something else, another target. But it just didn't work, so we changed it.
Did we shoot it that way and it just got cut out?
No, I believe it actually changed before we ever even made it to production. Yeah.
The logic being...
It was in several drafts of the script.
Well, we actually put it in the vacuum chamber.
The CRT explosive recoil device.
Well, it will get there, yes.
All these people are walking pretty.
But it was going to be detonated in the hospital. They weren't going to be able to get to it in time, and it was going to go off. And then we thought, oh, crap, there's nerve gas in the hospital. But then it ended up being a false.
And here's another question I have. Why not just bring that CRT vacuum thing to the canister?
You have an awful lot of questions for after something's
or just
aired.
Just a trash bag. Or just throw in a trash bag.
A giant Ziploc.
Uh-oh. Look who's home.
Sorry, it's a little tougher than it looked at first glance, okay?
I love Chloe.
Now, this is one of the key scenes of this episode that if anyone were to probably talk about one particular scene, this one's probably going to be it. And this one changed, of course, several times as well, but I think it ended up really, really, really well.
It's one of the best of the season, actually. I think the season, each season is defined by its moments that you can remember and call back to, and I think this is one of them. Crack the code
faster. I've already got three analysts working on it, Jack.
Here I am. Mary?
Mary.
Honey, I want you to pack a bag. I
was... Oh, something's wrong.
Don't you move. Miriam, sit back down.
Still thinks Jack, obviously, is off his rocker at this point, and that Christopher is totally, totally innocent.
A lot of wood floors.
It's a nice house.
It is nice. You could break dance in there. It's a good backspin floor.
Or get one of those robot vacuums. Let it just go nuts.
How do I find the nerve gas?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Where is it?
That's right, Jack. Start with my knee, just like I taught you. Sooner you do it, sooner you see. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a very nice line.
Yeah.
No, Jackie doesn't know. For God's sake, leave him alone.
Christopher, CTU found one of the kids.
Ah, come on, Jack. Just do it.
It's armed. People are going to start dying. How do I find the nerve gas?
Jack, leave him alone. He doesn't know anything.
Now, this scene you played around with a little bit, I think, from draft to draft.
Originally, it was basically just a stalemate where Jack and Henderson were going back and forth, and he threatens Miriam, and Henderson's like, you're not going to shoot an innocent woman, especially one who's close to your daughter. And Jack kind of concurred, and they just kind of had a stare-off. But as you will see, that's not what happened.
Ah. What's in the briefcase?
De Niro.
Stacks of money.
And I don't mean Robert.
Is this true? Have you been lying to me all this time?
I've been protecting you all this time.
By lying?
It's not that simple, Mary.
I defended you.
I wasn't lying. Shading.
And this is a great story between them.
Oh, yeah. This, her whole world is sort of crumbling down right now. And she plays it really well.
The look on her face is great coming up.
Do it, Jack. Get it done. Shoot me.
Get me. Yeah, Henderson's prepared to get shot.
Yeah.
But nobody's prepared for this. Oh, look at that.
That's such a great.
Fantastic.
And it got to Henderson, too, which is brilliant.
So, yeah, I mean, we were going back and forth like, you know, Jack's not going to shoot an innocent woman. And then suddenly someone, I think, just said, well, why not? Let's do it. He's trying to stop nerve gas.
Tell him what he wants to know.
And I love that he makes a line, it's not her kneecap, she'll be able to walk.
Yeah.
It's just her femur.
It's just right.
And this is where she's realizing, because Henderson still won't give it up.
Yep,
and that's why we kind of had to do it, because it's so good.
And he alludes to something big here, that he's got this, you know, quote,
it's so big that
large,
even threatening his wife's life, who he loves, is still not going to get him to give Jack any information.
I repeat, I need an ambulance on site. Miriam Henderson's been shot in the leg.
I love that he shot her.
I need an interrogation room prepped and a medic standing by with hyoscine pentothal.
Get that hyoscine pentothal ready.
Which originally, what was it called? Pharmatox.
Let's get him pharmatoxological, and then pharmatox.
Let's get him the pharmatoxological interrogation.
Sounds scary.
CRT team on site. Stand by, Jack. Curtis.
And this is a great sequence for the end of the episode.
It's Curtis gets to be action man. Uh-oh.
There's your insert.
It's a remote timing display.
Can you defuse the detonator?
Jim Lapidus, our
wardrobe,
right, thank you. Our costume designer, what are they going to say? He designs all these big
cool looking
outfits and yeah, and the gas masks and all the stuff that they wear.
I really like this sequence because it appears to be in real time and it's an action sequence and it's tense. I mean, you want people to get out of his way.
They got 1 minute, yeah.
And you know the thing about 24 is, you know, we're not afraid to kill anybody either. You know that
you
this
do
thing
not
could go
know
off.
Who's going to make it out alive. That's for sure.
Of course, they're the only ones wearing gas masks. So they're the ones that they're going to be
pretty
safe.
Are they
going to
outfit the entire hospital?
Yeah,
no,
they're
not
really. They're going to be safe.
Like
it's this poor guy with his IV thing that's trying to get out.
He went a walk on roll.
Well, we established later that if you hold your breath, you won't die.
That's right.
Park the car closer.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so great. Just in time.
Yeah.
And the beeping tells you that.
That sounds like a rocket taking off.
Perfect.
Sweet. So, yeah, so obviously we decided against making this a decoy, and now we are left with 18 canisters.
Right.
ETU, canister detonated inside the containment unit. The hospital's safe.
Nice action sequence.
Yeah, I also was very fortunate to have John Cassar, who is our resident co-executive producer, director, direct this episode, which is, you know it's in the best of hands, and it's going to be fantastic.
I noticed no boxes, though. We didn't shrink down to boxes in this episode.
Is that right?
I don't think so.
That is unusual. You guys wrote episode 12, which is the next episode, and originally when aired, 11 and 12 were back-to-back, and it was a nice little 1-2 punch.
In the middle of the season.
Right smack in the middle of the season, yeah. And for some reason, originally scheduled, it was going to be episode 10 and episode 11 back-to-back, but I think it was a much better choice, 11 and 12.
Well, thank you.
And look at that act out.
Thank you.
What a great act.
That was nice.
There, look at your names.
Oh, that's great.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you very much for listening to this.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed.
Thank you. Enjoy.